They know what's at stake, Dick.
Yep, getting their home team into the NBA.
Now I'm talking about free corn dogs.
Oh, that's right. It's free corn dog night.
Now back to Qualk and Kelly.
I'm ready to reveal my Hall of Fame ballot. I'm ready to reveal, and I know people have been waiting on it, but I mean, don't you think it was warranted after I said that Chipper wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, but like I also said that if I had a ballot, I would put him on my first ballot. Like, that's a contradiction. So I got to put my money where my mouth is here. If I'm going to make such irrational claims, then I gotta bring my theoretical, like, piety or whatever, the purity of my arguments or whatnot, I got to bring it into the real world somehow. If we can track down Will Vannevoort, we'll get him on, but we also have phone calls.
Willard V, are you out there? Oh, wait.
Here we go. Let's go to Robert, who's up with us next. Robert is in with us. We'll get him before Will Vannevoort. What's up, Robert?
How's it going, y'all?
Doing well.
So to add to everything that's already been discussed with Chipper, couple things. One, there should be an asterisk on the fact that he should have been Rookie of the Year in 95, but Hideo Nomo, I believe, was, even though he technically wasn't a rookie because he played professional ball in Japan.
That's true.
That's one more accolade that he should have had. But when you're comparing pitchers and everybody, I don't think that's as equally fair for position players, for pitchers, kind of like what one of the other callers had said, you know, they're only out there every fourth or fifth day. You know, we don't really get to see the 20-win seasons anymore, so at best, pitchers average, let's say, what, 15 to 18 wins a season? I think it's different to compare them from a Hall of Fame standpoint. So when you keep saying, you know, Bonds and Clemens, I put the asterisks on them for the steroids. I agree with you 100%. They were by far and away Hall of Fame players before they decided to cheat. But I am, I guess, an old-school purist with that, so I still have issues getting them in. But agreed again that they deserve it beforehand. I think if you take them off the ballot, like, again, one of your other callers had mentioned, then Chipper's a no-brainer. And like you said, by default, you're basically putting him in there because of everyone else. But, you know, I think he, standalone greatest switch hitter, you dismissed that too, where it's like, you know, you said you didn't really care for the switch hitter, people saying that that matters. Well, that's baseball. It very much matters. I mean, it changed the complexity of the game.
I wouldn't say that it doesn't matter. I just think that when people are saying, you know, he's the greatest switch hitter, that doesn't mean that you're a, you know, what I would consider a quote-unquote first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, to me, that you could still be not a first ballot Hall of Famer and be the greatest switch hitter or the greatest left-handed closer or whatever, you know, of all time.
Right.
That was my whole point. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm just saying just because, like, to me, that's not an argument that I'm like, oh, okay, first ballot Hall of Famer because he's the best switch hitter. That might mean he's a Hall of Famer, but in the way we think about first ballot, that's where I was drawing the line there.
Okay. Yeah, I see. I think he's also the only one to have 400 home runs and over 300 batting averages.
That is correct. I'm almost positive that I need to double check that, but I'm almost positive that's true. Barry Bonds, just for a comparison, Barry Bonds, who may have been the greatest, in fact, his OPS just shatters everybody on this list. He batted .298 for his career, and had 514 stolen bases and 762 home runs. Just for that, and we appreciate the phone call. I had a tough connection at the end with Robert, but I think he's right about that. That Chipper's still over 300. In fact, that the people on this list. The only players with, I think he's the only switch hitter maybe with 304, because Vladimir Guerrero, 318, 449 home runs. Larry Walker, I think, is a tremendous batter, but also played in Coors Field. 313, 383 home runs. Manny Ramirez, 312, 555 home runs. And then you got Chipper, 303 with 468. So he's fifth in batting average among these. Edgar Martinez, the other guy, 312. But again, a guy who never played defense. How do you put him in? Do you put him in against a guy who played below average on defense and put himself out there? Like, how bad was Edgar Martinez that he never played defense? Did he even have any defensive innings in his career? I mean, goodness gracious. I think maybe, I'm sure he did. When he played, 564 games at third base. But we're talking like a few thousand innings is all. He played, let's see. 4,829 and a third defensive innings. He played 592 games as a defensive player, 1,403 as a designated hitter. Corner infielder there. And we're having some issues with Will Vandervoort. So I'll go through kind of my Hall of Fame ballot here. The guys that I know for sure, and this is gonna be kind of a show ballot because I wanna bring Kelly in on this as well. And we're gonna go with in fact, we're just having issues with our phones right now. While we get that fixed, I'll go through this ballot real quick. We've got our top four seeds for the NCAA basketball tournament, and we've got this Hall of Fame ballot and then some hump day headlines as well to get to. I want to tell you before we get to any of that, this hour of the program is brought to you by Locomart. Go by and see them in Clemson. They're open late. You got hundreds of convenience stores you can pick. Why Locomart? Because they got the best gas at the lowest prices. They're right near campus. They're conveniently located right off the interstate. They got new management, a big facelift in the store. The ownership is great. The employees are great. They'll have a conversation with you. They're super friendly. And they got a great food and drink selection as well at Locomart that you're not going to find everywhere else. It's not overbearing, overwhelming. You get exactly what you want. It's easy to find. Marathon Fuel and the American Spirit at Locomart. Craft beer available there as well. All right, before we get to any of this, Kelly, I'm having a hard time. Because one of the things, and again, one of the things that Robert said, if you're a purist in baseball, then you're going to look at Barry Bonds, you're going to look at Roger Clemens, you're going to look at guys like that, even guys that you maybe think are possible steroid guys, and you're going to look at them with disdain, and you're going to look at them like they don't belong on the ballot. I feel like that's okay to do that. I think one of the things that you have to weigh is the contributions to the game. In other words, we can't look back with disdain at like McGuire and Sosa without also acknowledging that baseball, as an entity, allowed them to bring the game back from the brink. Like, you can't just pretend that McGuire and Sosa were just bad people going rogue. Baseball used McGuire and Sosa to bring people back to the game. That's clear in 98. And if they were using performance-enhancing drugs, and Martin McGuire said that he used performance-enhancing drugs, certainly. Sosa, I mean, Sosa's one of these guys that's statistically no doubt Hall of Famer. I'm not putting him on there because the guy got popped twice for things that I consider to be below the belt, shots at the integrity of the game. Did Pete Rose do more good for the game or harm for the game? Did Barry Bonds do more good for the game or harm for the game? Did Roger Clemens do more good for the game or harm for the game? I think it also hurts that, like, Clemens was a power pitcher and he was basically the Nolan Ryan after Nolan Ryan. To me, Barry Bonds gets more of a bad rap than Clemens does, generally speaking, because there's no Ken Griffey Jr. Like, there's no alternative. Maybe a Randy Johnson or somebody like that. But to me, Bonds gets docked because Griffey is so beloved. And because Griffey has never been linked to steroids and Bonds was, and they seem like peers. But Clemens, to me, is a guy without a real peer, except for maybe Nolan Ryan, who was before him. So I will ask you, Kelly, is it fair to try to weigh Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, these steroid guys as... We know that there were some dings for them, but in an era where we don't know who was and wasn't for sure. We know who was and wasn't linked, and Bonds also, I mean, the Balco stuff that linked Barry Bonds, that was a federal investigation, and that transcended sports in many respects, the Balco stuff in San Francisco with the performance enhancers. Is it fair to ask the question, instead of just dumping him or saying you got to say he's great, to ask, did Barry Bonds do more good for the game? Or was he more harmful to the game? And let that be sort of an arbitrary way to say yay or nay.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
To ask, did he do more good for the game than harm? And I think the answer is he did more good with Barry Bonds and with a guy like Roger Clemens. And I get what you're saying about Sammy Sosa. I get that. And because, like you said, he cheated blatantly in two different ways. Maybe you punish him a little more. But, I mean, I think Barry Bonds, if you want to talk about an icon... I mean, come on. Barry Bonds legitimately, for a casual sports fan, Barry Bonds was baseball for a good amount of years in the O's. He was synonymous with the sport, whether, you know, for better or for worse. And Roger Clemens was as well. I'm partial to Roger Clemens because I loved him when he was with the Stros. Obviously, he did great things with the Yankees. He's from, I mean, he pitched at Texas. I grew up loving Roger Clemens. That was kind of like ingrained in us. So
right.
I'm a fan of putting Roger Clemens in there.
Obviously.
But
even though he was kind of a, I mean, he was kind of a, later in his career, we found out maybe he was, like, he had the family.
Oh, sure.
And all that. And then that kind of got ripped
apart
there late.
But I mean, at what point, like, at what point do we take that into account with Hall of Fame vote? I mean, I think we're voting baseball.
Well,
now, I get that because in baseball, there's so many other issues when you bring in steroids and all that. But I don't, and of course, Pete Rose with the you know, betting on games. But I'm not going to sit here and not, and this sounds bad, but I'm not going to not put someone in the Hall of Fame because they maybe weren't the best family man. I mean, I know that sounds bad,
right,
but that shouldn't be a factor.
Right, and that's why Chipper Jones gets in. I mean, cards on the table, that's why Chipper Jones is going to get in because, you know, just being a good husband and dad, like, doesn't matter.
Is there something in the Baseball Hall of Fame criteria that says you must be a good husband and father?
No, it doesn't
say that.
I think it certainly helps you to be a
public
detestable
perception person.
Right,
yeah.
And it is sometimes a perception, and it's different than reality. By the way, our phone system currently down. We don't know exactly what happened
phones
there.
Phones are down.
We had a couple people waiting, and Will Vandervoort, so sorry about that. We may be able to try here in a minute. I'm going to go the opposite way, and I'm going to say that I would leave Barry Bonds off, even though I think he's the best player on this ballot. I mean, regardless of stats, I think he's the best player on this ballot. The reason I say that is because any good that he did for baseball is mitigated by the asterisk. Barry Bonds had the greatest single season home run total in history. And you know what? There are a few people that think it's Maris still. There are a few people that think it's Maris. To me, McGuire's more deserving than Bonds because McGuire admitted taking supplements that were legal at the time. Then we found out McGuire was taking them, and we said, yeah, that's probably not right. Like, Andro's probably not good to be allowing that. So they took that off the books. They took that away. Barry Bonds didn't do any of that. Like, you can explain Mark McGuire's rise with performance-enhancing drugs that were legal at the time in baseball. So I'd be more likely to let McGuire get in with 70, even though, like, he wasn't as good a well-rounded player. I mean, Bonds, look at his numbers, unbelievable. But Barry Bonds, the best thing he did for baseball is his home run number, and a lot of people still see Aaron as the all-time king, and McGuire as the all-time single season, or Maris as the all-time single season record holder, and everything Bonds did comes with an asterisk. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's why I don't know that I could vote for Bonds, and I don't see the same type of vitriol toward Clemens. I don't know why that is, probably because Clemens doesn't have any records that we revere.
Yeah. And I mean, don't you think part of it too, when you think of steroids, now correct me if I'm wrong, Kwok, I think the common notion is that steroids affect you a little less if you're a pitcher. Yes, it can give you endurance and strength and all that stuff, but pitching is still so tactical and so mental, and you know what I mean? There's not the shrewd, like the sheer power and the force that goes with hitting bombs.
Well, and I do think that steroids, different steroids do different things, but I think people misunderstand what steroids, like what they directly do.
I don't have much experience with steroids.
Like, to me, the Hall of Fame, it matters more for Hall of Fame, all right? If, you know, thanks.
Just to get that out there.
For Hall of Fame voting purposes, okay, I think it matters more for this reason. Because the number one thing that steroids allow you to do, by not all steroids, somebody's going to come to me with this does, but this doesn't. By and large, the steroids that people are using are about longevity. It's about stamina and recovery and things that allow you to have a longer career, which allows you to compile these numbers, which gives you a Hall of Fame resume
even,
in the first place.
Even back in the day, like even during the home run race?
Yeah.
Mark McGuire was, I mean, like you said, taking, you know,
Andro,
whatever.
Yeah.
But he was taking that for longevity or taking that because he wanted to win the home run race?
Well, you're able to build up muscle because you're able to work out longer.
Okay, like, so then you're saying that's building strength. That's not longevity of a career.
Right, but it does prolong your career because it allows you to recover quicker from injuries,
sure,
like all that stuff.
If you asked Mark McGuire or Sammy Sosa, like, why was the main reason you were taking substances, whatever.
They would say to get stronger.
Yeah, to win in the current, like
right.
what they were doing right then.
But it's not like you take a, which this is going to sound bad, like for kids in the car, but like you take a shot in your butt, like, which is what, I mean, Mark McGuire's Jose Canseco, the whole story is like them shooting needles in each other's butts, like in bathroom stalls and stuff. Like that's weird. Like if I got to do that, no thanks. I'll hit 45 bombs. Keep the needles out of my butt. Okay. But like you're taking shots, but it's not like Popeye eating spinach. Like, I think that's what people think. Like, Mark McGuire went in the tunnel when he was in the hole, and he put this needle in his arm, and he injects it, and he goes, "Whoa," and he, like, hulks out, and then goes into the index circle, and he's like, "Whoa," and then by the time he gets in the box, he's, like, superhuman, like the Space Jam, what do you call it?
The Monstars.
The Monstars. He's like a monster, he's like, "Whoa," and he's about to eat the pitcher, and he goes up there with this little tiny bat, and he goes, whack, and the ball goes into orbit, right? I think that's what people think. It's not like that. It's different. It's different from that.
Watching you do that in the studio was really entertaining, and Sanders is really entertained as well.
I mean, Sanders, isn't that what people think? No, people think McGuire was like, "All right, Mark, you're up third," and he's like, "Okay, gotta go stick a needle in my butt." And he's like, "Hey, Jose, let's go stick a needle in my butt." And then he goes up there, and he's like bulking up the whole time.
He's like,
it's
what?
Like pumping up his muscles.
He's like, what?
Roar! And then he goes it's like he's pumping up his muscles.
That's
like
what it was.
Like an air mattress. Like pump it up like an air mattress. You know what I'm saying?
Take a breath.
Okay. I feel like that's a misunderstanding what steroids is.
I agree.
Here's my final ballot. You ready? If I was doing it this year, who I'd put in. I put in Clemens. Even though I think, like, major question, but I just think Clemens is a baller. Vlad Guerrero, I put in. Best bad ball. I'm doing this thing with switch hitter. Best bad ball hitter I've ever seen. The ball can bounce twice, and he's going to hit it 400 feet. Like, that's – Vlad Guerrero is unbelievable. Two-strike approach, fantastic. Trevor Hoffman, great closer. Love Trevor Hoffman, big fan. Power pitcher. Chipper Jones, I put him on there. Even though I think calling Chipper Jones a first-ballot Hall of Famer dramatically overstates the value of his career, I will put him on as a first ballot on my Hall of Fame ballot.
When you write Chipper Jones on there, do you have to write Larry Wayne Jones?
Larry Wayne.
Or do you write Chipper?
I would write Chipper.
Okay.
Larry just Wayne. Checking. You just love Larry
what
Wayne.
What about Chip?
Manny Ramirez, I would put him on there, even though he was definitely a below average fielder, but 550 home runs or whatever.
Below average is generous.
I mean, and there's no way the Red Sox are as good as they are. Like, he and Poppy were the two. They drove that. I mean, Pedroia, Veritech, but the talents at the top were Ramirez and Papi. In terms of
he's a first ballot, right?
Papi. Manny?
No. David Ortiz.
No. He's not on this year.
No, I'm saying eventually. I don't know why I asked these questions because we have to get to other things. I don't know
because he's
I think Papi is a first ballot.
I wouldn't even put Edgar Martinez on my ballot because he never. Well. Yeah, I would put him on. I think I'd put him on there. I'd put him on there because I think. Well, I also think that Papi meant a lot to the game because he was a great ambassador for the game in Latin America.
An icon.
And that matters.
One could say.
Yeah, I'm just going to go against my morals and put Edgar Martinez on there, even though he's a terrible fielder and his best years was a DH. And then I'll put Curt Schilling on there as the greatest. Maybe one of the greatest, if not the greatest, postseason pitchers ever.
See, that's the thing. I know Curt Schilling has said some questionable things, and he's a questionable human, but I don't know if that should matter.
Good for the game. He's good for the game.
What did he do on the baseball diamond? That's what should matter.
All right. Now that we put that to rest, and somehow I've walked myself into, maybe Chipper Jones is the first ballot Hall of Famer. Who knows?
I've really enjoyed our annual Baseball Hall of Fame show. Really enjoyed it today.
When we come back, Hump Day headlines, and then... Do you want to give top four, or do you want to save that for tomorrow?
Let's save that, because I have some elite headlines if I do say so myself.
All right, that's good. We'll save the top four seeds in the NCAA tournament if it started today. Mm-hmm. We'll save that for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I've got some questionable submissions. I think we'll get into a kind of a fun discussion
also,
on this.
Also, tomorrow's show will be fun, because whenever we are live from any sort of hotel, it can get a little loopy and just crazy.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we'll be in Syracuse.
And we're
going to
be in Syracuse where
off.
It's going to be 18 degrees when we start the show.
A high of 21. We're going to get into the 20s, we assume.
Give a round of applause for Syracuse for being at least 20 degrees when we go up there.
That's what they deserve.
Okay.
All the crickets are dead because it's 20 degrees, but that's what they deserve.
Short break. We'll continue this after this.
This Sunday, Clemson will make the short drive down I-85 for an exciting matchup with the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets in Atlanta for the first of two games this season between the two programs. Pre-game begins at 5:30 p.m. with a 6 p.m. tip-off on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Clemson Tigers men's basketball on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, 105.5 The Roar, WCCP.
The air is cooling down, and what better time to snuggle down in a new comfortable mattress from Simmons Mattress Outlet. With the lowest prices in the upstate, you can buy a mattress and still have money to spare. And don't forget, the box springs are free with your purchase of a new mattress. If you are really looking to pamper yourself, ask about adjustable bases, but hurry, they move quickly. Simmons Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located in the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A.
I'm Guy, the insurance guy. Did you know that only 5% of HR execs believe employees truly understand their benefits? This may be related to the fact that the vast majority of enrollments, 71%, are passive. Insurance is an abstract and very complex product, so clear, effective communication is critical. Without it, everyone has headaches and is left in the dark. Did you know that with effective communication, even a below-average plan has 76% employee satisfaction? If employees don't understand something, it has little to no value. If it has no value, employees leave. Don't get taken to the cleaners. Call us, 864-INSURE-YOU. I'm Guy, the insurance guy. My company is The Insurance Source, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
Anytime is a great time to buy jewelry from Reed's Jewelers in Haywood Mall. Whether it's a diamond for her, a watch for him, or maybe something special for an upcoming graduate, no matter the occasion, Reed's will dazzle you. Endorsed by Roar listeners like Zeke.
I'm calling in for one of your sponsors, man. Wally over there, Reed's Jewelers. Go check him out. They'll get you what you need. If not, he'll find it, and he will definitely take care of you.
Zeke loves Reed's Jewelers. You will as well. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, next to Belk. Online at Reed's.com.
Two of our favorite words are good food. Two more are J. Peters. J. Peters is known for good food for any taste. From appetizers to dessert and signature drinks, there is something for everyone. Salads, mouthwatering burgers, steaks, ribs, prime rib, and seafood. And for a finishing touch, warm apple cobbler. Are you hungry yet? No matter what you order on the menu, you'll discover amazing flavors and great portions. With locations in downtown Anderson, Exit 19, and Livonia. Be sure to find the one close to you. Big food, good friends, and great times. J. Peters.
South Carolina driver's licenses and IDs are changing. You will need to change your card to a federally approved Real ID to use it for air travel and access to federal facilities. All of the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a Real ID license online. Required documents on file with the SCDMV, driving privileges in good standing, and a regular Class D, E, F, M, or any combination of the four license, and a U.S. citizen. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about changing your card. Start the process now and save time later.
Hey, this is Brock with Tom's Barbecue. My wife, Beth, and I are the new owners and are carrying on a 30-year barbecue tradition with the same eight homemade sauces, including our famous Cheerwine sauce and scratch-made sides. Come by and enjoy our low-slow Southern Smoked Barbecue. We're open for lunch Monday through Saturday, 10:30 to 3, and we can cater any event. Let Tom's Barbecue make your tailgate perfect with our custom tailgate packages. Follow us on Instagram at Tom's BBQ for special tailgate giveaways. Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
If you are in need of eye care and would like a more personal experience, consider Westminster Vision. We are locally owned and staffed with three convenient locations to serve you in Clemson, Pendleton, and of course, Westminster. We offer a large selection of eyewear and all types of medical care, even on Saturdays. So for quick, reasonable service you can trust, call us for an appointment at 646-3535.
God gave you two opposable thumbs for a reason. The text line is always open, 864-986-1566.
Just hang loose, blood. She's going to catch up on the rebound on the med side.
What it is, big mama. My mama raised no dummies. I duck a rap.
Cut me some slack, Jack.
Now back to Qualk and Kelly.
ready for action. Nip it in the bud, we never relaxing. Outcast is everlasting, not clashing, not at all. But see, my went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking. Give me one, pass them. Drip, drip, drop, there it goes an orgasm. Now you coming out the side of your face, be tapping right into your memory bank. Thanks. So click at the ticket, let's see your seatbelt fasten. Trunk rattling, like 2 minutes in the back seat wrestling. Speaker box vibrate the tag, make it sound like.
I can't wait for Hump Day Headlines, Hour 3. We talked a little Chipper Jones. A lot of people getting in on this. And in fact, Tiger Greg gets in on the Twitter, and says, Barry Bonds is the best player all around I watch, and I'm a boomer. He could do it all, including hitting bombs before roids. We just had this
boomer
conversation.
As in baby boomer?
Boomer, is it? Yes.
Okay.
We talked about this. Was Barry Bonds a Hall of Famer? That's an interesting question. Was Barry Bonds a Hall of Famer before steroids? There are two problems with that statement. Number one, you don't know when he, like the date that he started taking performance enhancing drugs. People can guess when his body was different. People can guess. That's number one. You don't know when. You can't say, okay, here's his body work and was this body work good enough and then here's his body work after. Or if he kept up these trends, would he have been a Hall of Fame? You know, you can't say any of that. Well, the second thing is a Hall of Fame career is your whole career. Like your whole body of work, which is kind of where the Pete Rose argument goes. It's like, yeah, you weren't a player, but you were still in baseball. And so you kind of were a black eye on baseball because you bet on baseball, even though you bet on your own team. You bet on baseball. And I think that's where I get off the bus with Barry Bonds. That if your signature accomplishment for the game is looked at with skepticism, if the thing that baseball people know you best for, that you know, Barry Bonds at baseball, you think home runs, and people think that those have asterisks, then I can't put you in the Hall of Fame. I don't want people to think about baseball that way. Time for Hump Day Headlines. Ladies and gentlemen, an illustrious segment every week, and this week no different, with just the best in headlines to get you through this hump day.
There are so many hump day headlines today and so many to choose from. I'm going to preface this by saying I pride myself on bringing you updates from Pyeongchang because crazy things are happening all the time that have to do with the Olympics, right? That being said, I struggled to find a Pyeongchang update this week because a lot of them are actually kind of depressing and terrifying. So I think I'm just going to move past Pyeongchang and we'll focus on some other things. Are you okay with that?
I'm down with it.
All right.
There's plenty more Pyeongchang to come in February.
Yeah, plenty more. And, you know, people just don't need to hear about North Korea on a hump day. That's not going to get you through the week.
Right. America is screwed up enough. Am I right?
All right. So I have three football headlines for you. And I'm going to start in the NFL. This comes to you from CBS Sports. Jay Feely, who was, was he a punter?
I believe he was a quarterback. Jay Feely?
Ex-NFL kicker.
What? Oh, no. A.J. Feely was a quarterback.
Yeah,
Jay Feely was a kicker.
I think he was a kicker.
Right.
He wasn't a punter.
Jay Feely was a kicker.
Anyway,
him
and Tom Brady go way back. They played together at Michigan.
Okay.
And Feely was a longtime kicker in the NFL. He's now an analyst for CBS Sports. And he went on a podcast. And this is what he said about a recent encounter with Tom Brady and with Tom Brady's family. This was the quote. Feely said, last spring, Brady and his, the quote's coming. This is just a paragraph. Last spring, Brady and his family vacationed with retired kicker Jay Feely, a close friend from their college days at Michigan. This being Brady, Feely prefers not to disclose the locale. Of course not. But he does share that Brady's wife, Giselle Bundchen. Are you familiar? You know who
Giselle Bundchen?
Are you familiar with Giselle?
Yes, I've heard a Bundchen about her.
Okay.
You gonna give me one of those?
I don't know.
Give me one. Come on. You laughed. It was an involuntary laugh. You gotta give me one. Yes.
I assume that you're familiar with Giselle.
Yes.
They spent time on that trip, and Giselle said, or he said, quote, that Giselle was trying to convince Tom to stop playing and wanted Feely to help her convince Tom to stop playing football. And she was, quote, dead serious. And apparently Tom Brady didn't take it seriously and he just kind of winked at him and was like,
what year was this?
This was this past summer when they vacationed.
Oh, you mean when she just randomly out of the blue was like, oh yeah, and Tom was concussed. Oh no, I wasn't supposed to say that. Oh no.
Oh yeah, when she disclose that he had a concussion. Oh
he's
yeah.
Like, oh, and Tom has been concussed like half his career. Oh no.
I can't say that. Oh.
I will say this, though.
That was so
funny. I'm not too surprised because obviously Tom Brady's 40, and I would imagine that Giselle is tired of seeing him get hit every Sunday. But remember my, you know my theory that Tom Brady is in fact immortal? You've heard this theory? Giselle had a quote. This was back in May 2017. She said, I'm planning on him being healthy and doing a lot of fun things when we are like 100 years old, I hope. Is she hinting to my theory? Because I'm pretty sure Tom Brady will never die.
And this interview with Giselle is brought to you by TB12. It'll make you immortal even when it's weird.
All the kale you could ever want.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a surprise that Giselle wants him to stop playing. But the fact that she was trying to, like, get his friends to convince him to stop.
Listen,
Tom Brady's not
going to
stop playing because Jay Feely thinks he should stop playing.
Look, Jay, buddy, what's up? Nothing, Tom. Listen.
Listen to me.
Got it.
Jay Feely.
Don't listen to your brain.
I just thought that was interesting. I
Tom
wonder,
Brady's never going to stop playing.
If you really had to guess, Kwok, when do you think Tom Brady will retire? He is 40 years old.
Never.
No, for
he's
real.
He's not retired. 45.
Because he's not going to play if he's not starting. 45. So you're telling me he's going to be a starting quarterback at 45?
Yeah, mostly because people keep asking, is this the year? Is this the year? And it seems like every time, like what Tom Brady wants to do the most, he's basically like a rebellious child. Basically, when you tell Tom Brady he can't do something, he does it. Like, as long as people keep saying, well, this is the year, this is the end of Tom Brady. Remember this, kids. This will be the last time. No, he's playing next year.
So
I'm going 45.
He signed a 2-year, $41 million contract with New England. So he's.
Which begs the question, LeBron can't sign a 2-year deal, but 40-year-old Brady can sign a 2-year deal? LeBron's like, I don't know. I feel like
really commit to that.
Really, 6 months is all I'm willing to be here for.
But he is on contract through 2019, the 2019 season. That's crazy.
Unreal. We remember when everyone was like, gosh, look at his performance down the stretch of the year. I mean, the guy's just, as you like to say, bloody shambles. He's bloody shambles, right? What did he do in the playoffs against that Jags secondary where he threw for like 290?
Yeah.
Now, he's not what he was, for sure, but he is elite still. He is elite. So I'm going to say 5 more years because it doesn't make sense that he's playing at this level for this long. It just doesn't make any logical sense in my opinion. Now, we got a texter here from 864. It says, TB12, nice, when I play it down in 2019. Maybe not. Now, does that include the 2018 playoffs, which will begin in January 2019? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, is that what, or just the 2019 season?
Yeah.
I think,
I don't know.
Realistically, if I had to look into the crystal ball, Tom Brady plays this coming year, and well, he's on contract through 2019, so I think he plays through his contract. I think he plays till he's 42, maybe win a few more rings. Just, you know, it's fine.
I like that. That's a fun headline. It's fun crazy to think about. It's nice to know that Tom Brady's basically the only one that wants Tom Brady to keep playing. Even his wife hates it.
Right.
His wife's like, can we not just go sit on a beach somewhere? Like, we're the richest couple in the world, aren't they?
Probably.
Aren't they the richest couple in the world right now? Now that Seal and What's-Her-Face broke up?
I don't know.
Seal and What's-Her-Face?
I can look that up for you.
Who's the girl?
I don't know.
Who's the girl who was married to Seal? Heidi Klum. That's it. How do you not know Seal and Heidi Klum?
I don't know.
Sorry.
Okay. Anyway.
I got to go this. Text for the 706. I started taking TB12 6 months ago, and I'm already 3 years
in. Excellent.
Yes.
The next headline, it's still football. We're going to... the upcoming NFL draft, we're going to talk about that, you know, just...
Ad nauseum?
Yes, ad nauseum for the next couple months.
Maybe a show or two spent on that.
But you know how we've heard Josh Rosen basically say he doesn't want to play for the Browns, right? We heard some speculation that Sam Darnold was debating staying in school because he doesn't want to play for the Browns. Josh Allen, who is suddenly an elite NFL draft prospect, he told a CBS radio station, quote, if I'm fortunate enough to become a Cleveland Brown, you can expect everything from me. I want to be the guy that turns around the Cleveland Browns. The guy that does it, that is going to be immortalized in Cleveland forever. He wants to be a Brown. Josh Allen's all in with the Browns.
I'm down with it because you got this, there are examples where it works. You remember when Eli Manning was just not going to the Chargers? John Elway was not going to the Colts and goes to the Broncos. Like, those guys have great careers.
He didn't want to play in the cold.
Right. And I'm sure there are people that don't want to play for the Browns. Honestly, I understand it, but in this case, I'm just going to look at Josh Rosen like the mamby-pamby wannabe that he is. Okay, not talent-wise, but just like person-wise. I just think the guy's mamby-pamby. He's charm and soft, and he doesn't want to do it. And Josh Allen's saying, I'll go anywhere. I just want to play football. And he's directly contrasting himself with Josh Rosen in
right.
that case.
I think that's a good look for sure. Now, this quote, one more quote in this article, this kind of cracked me up. It referenced his stats from this season at Wyoming, completing 56% of his passes. He was hurt some, but he threw for 1,800 yards, 16 TDs, and 6 picks. All right, not exactly first-round numbers, right? So when asked about that, he said, quote, stats are for losers. And the one thing I'd like to point out, while at Wyoming, we won games. And I definitely think that's how quarterbacks are judged in the NFL, end quote. He said stats are for losers.
I mean, well, first of all, he would because
his stats aren't very good. They're not great. They're not great.
I mean, Mel Kiper has Josh Allen number one, and he basically said the same thing. He's like, the guy wins.
But don't you think when you're, I know that Wyoming is not FCS. I get that. But when you come from a school where you're not exactly playing elite level competition and your numbers aren't that great, but you are a winner. I mean, Carson Wentz was that, but his numbers were exceptional. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if you're going to take a risk on a guy that, you know, doesn't play up to the caliber of competition that the other guys have played and still doesn't have good numbers, that's a concern for me. If his numbers were insane at Wyoming, like Carson Wentz was at North Dakota State, then it kind of makes up for it, but still.
Josh Allen's team won a bunch, but remember what we talked about in bowl season. They're a defense-first team that likes to run the ball. Like, it's a pro-style offense, but, I mean, Allen's completion percentage is, like, in the mid to low 50s.
56%.
For his career.
And I just don't see how this guy can be a number one pick.
First day at the Senior Bowl, guess what his primary issue was? Out on the field.
Overthrows, right?
Yes, accuracy. Tools for days. Strong arm, cannon arm, throw it 80-whatever yards, and throw it the whole length of the field practically. He can't throw it from me to you with accuracy. And what Pat Forty had an interesting story on this on Yahoo yesterday where he was talking about this. Or actually, it was this morning I read it. And he basically said this. He said that a lot of people in the NFL think that accuracy is the one thing you got to have when you come in. You don't get more accurate. You don't fix accuracy issues when you go into the league. And I think that is spot on. You can get stronger with your arm strength or mitigate arm strength issues, which is why Deshaun Watson had success and people with better, quote-unquote, arm talents did not. Like, you don't, when the windows get tighter and the defensive athletes get worse or better, you don't all of a sudden become a pinpoint accuracy passer. The most important thing you got to have is accuracy. The strength and that other stuff can come later. But I agree. I would not touch Josh Allen with a 10-foot pole because he couldn't throw it from me to you without hitting something and breaking something in a studio.
I'm definitely not taking him in the first round. If you want to take him in the second round or whatever and, you know, see if he can build up after a year, whatever, that's fine. But you're not taking him with the number one overall pick. That's crazy talk.
I love this guy, though, too. I'm a big fan of his. I wish him all the best in the world. I would not touch him with
that's
a 10-foot
pole.
That's
great, but
not on my team.
As some of our friends would say, it's a business decision.
That's very true.
I have one more headline for you when we come back.
Very good. This hour brought to you by our friends at a Green Law Firm. If you want to get rid of the IRS, get them off your back. Get rid of them. I mean, you can't abolish the IRS. But if you want to get them off your back, you can with a Green Law Firm. Look, don't try to go to a national number. That's going to be enticing to you. And you're going to see the commercials on TV or whatnot that they're going to get rid of your issues. Here's the bottom line. It might even be an automated answering service that answers the phone. They're going to take down some information. They're going to put you in a file cabinet. They're going to treat you like a file folder. Okay? The Green Law Firm is going to treat you like a person. It's unbelievable what they do. David Green, 20 years in the business. He's a Clemson grad, lives in Greenville. If the IRS put liens on your property, if the IRS garnished your wages, you got an audit coming up. If you got filing issues, either you haven't paid or you haven't filed in a while, they can help you with that. They know how to use the tax code and a Fresh Start program for your ultimate benefit. They can't change your past at the Green Law Firm, but they can definitely change your future. Get the peace of mind and the results you're entitled to from the local law firm that's been helping hundreds of folks in the upstate for over 20 years. Free strategy session can be yours. Call them. 271-7940. That's 271-7940. Side by their office, 11 McGee Street in downtown Greenville. Check them out on the web, greenlaw.legal. That's GREENE law.legal. Final segment of the program is coming up next.
If you're super passionate about buying or selling a house and need a get-back coach like Coach Venables, then call me, Jana Candler, with the Totes team at Berkshire Hathaway Seat and Joiner, 313-6990. Go Tigers!
It's bow time at Bojangles. Grab a two-piece dinner combo that includes leg and thigh, your choice of fixin', a biscuit, and a drink. Just $5 for a limited time. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Retirement Funding Advisors works with you to ensure the smooth and consistent operation of your retirement plan. A qualified retirement plan is a valuable benefit, from attracting new employees to showing your employees that you care. A great retirement plan is a rewarding experience for everyone. A successful retirement plan meets the needs of your employees by giving them the tools to save for retirement. Get all the help you need with Retirement Funding Advisors by calling 864-252-4694.
It says a lot about a business who served the upstate for 30 years. It says even more when that business, family-owned and operated, has continued to grow and take care of thousands of homeowners like you. Roto-Rooter of the Upstate is full service with 24-hour emergency attention to your plumbing issues. 30 years in business, family-owned and operated, and proud alumni of Clemson. Roto-Rooter. Online at Roto-Rooter SC, or call them at 288-7686.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And wiggle troubles down the drain.
At last, the new year is here. What do you see ahead? Happy days and carefree nights?
Credit card bills?
Right, credit card bills.
Looking at months of high-interest credit card bills from all that generous holiday gift-giving? Time to go to Lightstream and get a low-interest rate credit card consolidation loan. Act now to get an even lower rate with our special radio listener discount. Go to Lightstream.com/sports to get rates as low as 5.39% APR with AutoPay. And with average interest rates on credit cards at 17% APR, Lightstream could save you thousands of dollars in interest. Makes the new year a whole lot brighter, doesn't it? The application takes minutes online. There are no fees, and you can have funds as soon as today. So if you have good to excellent credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount at Lightstream.com/sports. That's Lightstream.com/sports. Lightstream.com/sports.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com for important information about limits on Lightstream loans and same day funding.
As a business, you want a clean facility for your customers, your staff, and your guests. Turn to the best in the industry, Jan Pro. You are hiring a company whose staff is certified, not just trained. They're insured and bonded, and they go through an intense 5-week certification program. They're local business owners growing the local economy, and they can do more than just cleaning. You'll be more than satisfied with the Jan Pro team on your team. You'll be amazed. Call Jan Pro today at 458-3053.
Hi, I'm John, the new owner of the Butcher's Block in Anderson. We've made a ton of changes to the way we serve you. The best meals are always farm to table, and that's what we do. Only the freshest ingredients from local produce, literally a guy that has a farm stands. I know your day can be hectic, so we can take care of dinner for you with our pre-prepared meals are fresh and never frozen. Lots to choose from, including lasagna, chicken cordon bleu, stuffed flounder, chicken pot pie, and more. Ask about our pre-prepared packages like our picnic package with 4 half-pound burgers like no other. Our burgers are ground chuck, single grind, with filet mignon and ribeye fat only. You'll never taste another burger like this. If you haven't tried our meat and three, you have no idea what you're missing. The same fresh meat and produce with bread, dessert, and a drink included. If the meat and three is not your thing, we have a full deli menu with salads and our new chicken finger basket with fresh hand-cut french fries. Come see us at the Butcher's Block, 1702 North Main Street, Anderson.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Gets the crowd involved, doesn't it?
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fry. Just right, and the radio.
All right, there has to be a better. There has to be a better. November 2017. I'm looking at 2015 here. wealthiest couples, and it has Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Gosh.
Okay. Wealthiest couples. This is from 2017, okay? 2017, November 2017. Number one is Tom Brady and Giselle. This is businessinsider.com. Combined net worth of Tom Brady and Giselle. Why don't you venture a guess there? Why don't you venture a guess?
Well, Giselle has made much more money than Tom, I would think. Their combined net worth, if Tom over the course of his career has made like 15 to 20 mil a year, right?
Right.
But Giselle makes much more than that.
Right. 15, 20 bill a year. Right.
I'm going to say, she doesn't make that.
I know she doesn't. I just want to say it.
I'm going to say 700 million.
Okay. 540 million is what they say.
Whoa. Giselle makes serious money.
The other couples on this list, okay, you ready? Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, all right? Between 207 million and 762 million. How are you half a bill off? Between 207 and 762, there's like 545 million not accounted for in there. What?
That's a massive range.
Right, right. You know, in my wallet right now, I've got between $500,000 and $600,000. Like, I know you don't. You have one of those. Then you have Jay-Z and Beyonce, who are the king and queen. $1.16 billion. But wait, there's more. Evan Spiegel. And Miranda Kerr, Spiegel is the co-founder of Snapchat.
And Kerr is, I'm reading this article now, I found it.
Yeah.
She's a model, but she has only made like 45 million in her life.
Yeah, only 45 mil, no big deal.
He's the founder of Snapchat.
$3.44 billion.
He made $3.4 billion on Snapchat?
How stupid is this? Then you got Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan with $74.2 billion. That's not even real. That's not even a real thing. You don't even have that much money. That's not even a thing. Bill and Melinda Gates are $89.6 billion. Billion with a B. And then there's Jeff Bezos.
Amazon.
$92.7 billion. So Brady and Giselle at $540 million. Are like not even worthy to tie a shoelace on Jeff McKenzie Bezos with their $92.7 billion.
Do you know what Giselle brought in 2016? And she's on the downside of her career.
How much?
$30.5 million.
Giselle, there's no such thing as a downside of a career when your husband is the founder of TB12, a revolutionary company that helps you not age. This is unbelievable.
Their diet, this is what it says, their insane diet, which composed of 80% vegetables. 80% vegetables. And this man plays in the NFL. How does he sustain
80%
hits?
Vegetables.
He's hitting kale and carrots. How is that possible?
I don't know.
All right, back
all right,
to
final one.
Back to sports.
Final one, there we go.
Final hump day headline. It is never too early for some way, 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 way too early college football betting lines.
Oh, give me
Are
those
you
betting
ready?
Lines. Always betting line. All the lines.
All right, we begin. Thursday, August 30th. Purdue, a 1-point favorite over Northwestern at home. God, what a way to kick off the year. Purdue and Northwestern in Lafayette. Isn't that where Purdue is?
Lafayette,
Indiana. West
there
Lafayette.
There is a Lafayette and there's a West Lafayette. And the people in Lafayette probably are mad that
Sorry.
You said it was the same as West Lafayette.
Anyway, that's are okay. you? I mean, Purdue minus one against your Northwestern.
Minus one against
N-Dub. Purdue's
okay.
going to be improved, right?
Okay. Northwestern neutral field better, though, so okay.
This one's going to blow your it won't really blow your mind, but it's actually kind of funny. In Orlando, Alabama, a 29.5-point favorite over Louisville.
Yeah, cash money.
29.5.
Yep. Saban destroys opponents in the opening games, and he will destroy this one.
Yikes.
No chance. They have no chance.
Juwan Pass, probably going to start for Louisville, right?
Please, dear Lord.
I'm looking forward to that
yes.
so much.
Please, dear Lord, yes. Two-time all-name team quarterback.
Two-time out-of-bounds all-name team quarterback. Juwan Pass.
There's never been a better tandem at QB than 2 years ago on the all-name team, the OOB all-name team, when we had Gunnar Keel and Juwan Pass. There's no better than having Gunnar and
Pass. It will not
Pass.
Get better than that.
No.
The
no
glory
question.
Days. In Atlanta, Auburn, a 4-point favorite over Washington. That's going to be a good opener. I think that's the Chick-fil-A kickoff game, I would believe. West Virginia, a 8-point favorite over Tennessee in Charlotte. I can see that. That's for sure. Especially if Will Greer's back and healthy.
For sure.
Texas, a 10-point favorite over Maryland in Landover, Maryland.
I'm okay with it. Hey, Texas got to deal with your boy. Matt, north of the border, Canada is a terp. Give me some of that Maryland OC. Get Canada. You managed to ruin Texas's opener. Give me some Canada hate before I give you some Canada love.
Canada, you did it again. You even found a way to ruin this. Why? Why do we let you be a country?
Kelly's Longhorns are about to be 1-0, and then Canada ruined
it. They found a way to ruin it.
Everything else.
As they do.
Goodness gracious.
Also, Maryland has owned Texas as of late, which is a scary sentence. You've got Colorado, a 6-point favorite over Colorado State in Denver. A battle of the Colorado schools. I mean, how can you not be excited? Ohio State opens with Oregon State. They're a 31-point favorite.
31-point favorite. Hey, yeah. Tough openers.
Thanks for playing, Chief. Tough openers. Is it really sad about a sad state of your football program? At least this is on the road, but North Carolina is a 4-point underdog at Cal.
Mm.
I mean, at least it's in Berkeley. I guess you have some sort of excuse for that.
I think it's fun that they have a home and home together.
That's nice.
They have a home and home. How's North Carolina going to, like, they're passing all the people hanging up in a tree so the bulldozer doesn't knock them down. Like, how's that work in North Carolina?
Quark, bastions of academia and, you know, growth and nonsense.
Like, they have more people looking like Mowgli up in trees than students attending their games.
I mean, you watch a game from the tree while you're trying to save the tree from being cut down.
Is that Tarzan? Nah, that's just a junior horticulture major. Nothing major. Go ahead.
Nothing major?
Yeah, nothing major.
Duke is a 9-point favorite over Army in Durham. And then this is the other big one. There's two more big ones, of the bigger games of the opening weekend. Notre Dame opens that as a 2-point favorite over Michigan at home. So they're playing in South
Bend.
Over
Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
Do they know that Michigan never beats any teams of consequence that finish with winning records? Do they know something we don't about Notre Dame?
I don't know. Only
because,
a 2-point favorite.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, lay the points.
Yeah.
Lay the points with Notre Dame, with Brian Kelly against Jim Harbaugh, who never beats any team that finishes with a winning record except Purdue, who finishes a gentleman 7-6.
The overrated coaches battle of the century, Jim Harbaugh and Brian Kelly.
Quarterbacks in that game, Brandon Wimbush and...
Shea Patterson.
Got to be Shea.
Got to be Shea.
Maybe you hedge a little bit on, we don't know if Shea is just going to look average or like Michigan quarterbacks. We don't know how good he's going to be.
Will he regress because he goes to Michigan?
No regress.
All right. And finally, on Sunday, on your opening weekend, Miami opens as a 1-point favorite over LSU in Arlington, in Jerry World.
How about that?
Miami, a 1-point favorite.
Hey, the U's back, though. You should be like a 9-point favorite over LSU with, you know.
LSU's back.
Some shambles, bloody shambles. Speaking of that. They're going back to the Les Miles offense, it appears.
Also, did you see, we mentioned it briefly with Manny, but Heisman odds are out, of course. Kelly Bryant, 18-1, sixth best odds. They were adjusted after one day of betting. Travis Etienne, 35-1, ninth best odds.
Vegas knows more
than
a lot of
fans. Travis Etienne has better odds than, I forget the list, but like Mackenzie Milton.
Trace McSorley? He has better odds than McSorley?
Kelly Bryant has better odds than Trace McSorley.
Oh my gosh, McSorley is the best ever. Why does anyone have better odds than McSorley? That's what Barrett Salee said on CBS Sports yesterday. Real quickly, the DeAndre Francois story, people have shared it. We didn't address it because that's a weird he said, she said. It appears that story is malarkey. Or they're not pressing charges because they can't figure it out.
We'll monitor the situation.
It is interesting that Francois, and he said, she said like that, it's easy to blame the guy, but the guy's not always at fault. I'll just put it that way. And Francois is the one that actually called it in. So, I mean, that lends some credibility. Also, the girl says she's 9 weeks pregnant too. And we don't know if it's, do we even know if it's Francois' baby?
She says
she's 9 weeks pregnant, but it didn't say who the dad was.
Well, per the Orlando Sentinel, the case is now inactive. So I think it's been squashed.
It's done. So don't go around sharing the, Florida State quarterback's at it again. Not really.
I mean, no one will ever top Jameis. Let's just be real.
No.
That guy was absolutely out of control.
That's why they don't let people stand on tables at Florida State anymore.
It was almost comical just to see what he would do week to week. I mean, it was terrible, but it was just... I mean,
Jimbo Fisher gave him a look. What are you doing, Jameis?
You can't be dressed out, Jameis.
Why are you dressed out? Go in there. Take those pads. pads off, take that helmet off, and then go sit in the stands like suspended players. Why are you out here warming up, Jameis?
You're making me want to leave for A&M.